Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I want to tell you about one of my new favorite podcasts. Okay. It's called Love to See It. It's literally perfect. It's a smart and progressive, snarky, but also like affectionate dissection of dating reality shows and what they say about all of us. In it, culture writers Emma Gray and Claire Fallon recap shows like The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, and occasionally other shows like F-Boy Island and The Courtship. They break down every episode in obsessive detail and unpack all of the weird messages pop culture sends us about love, sex, and dating.
What happened last night? I feel like we have a lot to talk about, and that is the Grammys.
Oh, I was like,
you're like, what did happen?
Oh my God, what did happen, Sunday?
We're talking about the televised Grammys.
Let's start with a positive. I think we can all agree it's so iconic that Kim Petras won. Yes. The first trans woman to win Best Pop Duo Performance was Sam Smith, and how kind of Sam Smith to let her accept that award on her own and, like, give her the limelight.
100%. And I think that was, like, her speech was just something that, like, I remember calling Alicia and you, and I was, like, in tears about it because it was just so beautiful and how she paid tribute to Sophie, who is this trans icon, legend. She paved the way for electronic music, specifically in, like, so many genres. And she sadly passed away a couple of years ago, and it was just so gorgeous. And that performance of Unholy.
Yeah, they ate. I was so moved by so many moments. Like, specifically Kim, like, I was emotional, you know, when you called me. Lizzo, Viola becoming an EGOT winner.
Yes. Yeah.
So
Viola.
Many moments. And also, like, the way I don't think I could even properly articulate the way that I lost all of my utter shit when they did the hip-hop tribute. Because, like, unless you're a hip-hop fan, you don't understand how many people they brought up on the stage. Like,
oh my
Queen
God.
Latifah for UNITY. Yep. Like, she's the reason that, like, women are the way they are in hip-hop today. She's one of the many.
Yeah.
But Salt and Pepa came out. Wu-Tang Clan came out. Rough Riders came out. Like, literally.
Busta Rhymes. Like, when he came out, and he's like,
going. No, it was such a stunning tribute. I also think it was really special that they decided to also bring out, like, newcomers, like Lil Uzi.
They are so cute. Yeah. Lil Uzi is so cute. And, like, when they were walking up, they're like this. I just want to rap. And then Glorilla?
Oh my gosh, Glorilla. Yes.
She's going to be an up and coming.
Oh no, like, she ate.
She's
like,
incredible.
Also, the Migos moment, the tribute.
That was beautiful.
For the passing was really beautiful. And also, they brought out a gospel group, which is one of my favorites, called Maverick City. Mm-hmm. I just loved so many moments. I loved the fans that they had on stage.
That was cute.
Yeah, like,
that was really cute.
Most of the Grammys for me were such a win. It was so beautiful. But
I knew there was a butt coming. Talk your shit.
We know there was a snub. And if you don't agree, I think you need to see medical help. You know there was a snub.
So,
album of the year?
So,
how are you nominated 4 or 5 times? Never got
I
it
agree
once.
With that.
Once.
I agree
once.
With you. No. Alicia, I agree with you. I think Beyonce should have won every other album time. But hear me out. Harry's House was no skips. I'm so sorry. I actually think it was the best album of the year. And I think Beyonce is the greatest artist of our generation.
Yeah, she broke the record last night for the most Grammy-nominated artist
correct.
Of all time.
And she won 32. Best... Yep, and she won Best Electronic Album. But I do think Harry won and it was, I think it was
well deserved. Everyone thought it was either going to be between Bad Bunny or Beyonce.
Absolutely.
So I think everyone's jaws were dropped.
Yeah.
When they saw that. Not mine, though, because I've never had respect for them. I feel like they always have done some weird shit with the Grammys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like they've never really played by the rules. It's kind of like a popularity contest, to be honest. And I don't know. I don't even know who I was saying this to, but I was saying something to someone once on a day. And I said, I said the Grammys are so weird because it's like you are surrounded by people on the carpet who are wearing like crop tops and bras and it's fine. Do you know what I mean? So like anything kind of goes.
There's definitely like a lot more like freedom there, you could tell in the room. The Dream went on stage and said, y'all know niggas be late and be on CPT time. Beyonce thanks y'all. Like it got bleeped out because her breaking the record was received by The Dream, which do you guys know who The Dream is? Like he's an artist, but
wait,
is also
what do you mean
like
he was received
producer.
By him?
Oh, he received Beyonce's award because she wasn't there to receive her first award.
Where
of
was
the night.
She?
Late. That's why he went on stage and said, y'all know niggas be on CPT time.
Oh, and that's why Trevor Noah was like, we're so grateful Beyonce came. And Trevor Noah also ate that whole hosting gig. And also, why did James Corden present best electronic?
He's so gross.
The first lady was there.
Jill.
Ariana, what are you doing here? Why? Like, love her.
I do love that they added a new category. Shout out Grammys for doing that.
Yeah, that was
like,
huge.
Social impact song. Like, so much love to, like, the Iranian community. That was really special.
100%.
Also, the way I did not expect to get emotional, because Bad Bunny sang a specific song that in the lyrics he goes, todo el mundo quiere ser Latino, pero faltan sazón, which means, like, everybody wants to be Latin now, but they, like, don't have the seasoning. They don't have, like, what it takes. Like, it was just such a Latin pride thing. Yeah. It was so beautiful. And I don't think most people know this, but the, like, really large fat heads, like, during his performance that came out, they were all like Latino figures. They were all Puerto Rican figures that he was paying homage to.
I love that.
And in his speech, he specifically was like, hopefully, us as Latinos, we could just keep going up, you know?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah,
and I love in his speech, he was like, as long as you have love and passion, literally anything's yours. Yeah. No matter what you do in life, as long as you do it with love and passion. And I feel like that's something that we can all take with us. Love and passion, great two things that you take with you when you're going to bed, when you're shitting, and when you're making love to yourself. All right, so today we have a very special guest, someone that I have really wanted on the pod, and the girls and I are really excited to have her. She's a phenomenal model. She's an icon. She's like the definition of manifestation. She is someone on TikTok that you have most probably seen. She is modeled for like Calvin Klein, Savage X Fenty, for any like poppy brand. Anything that you've seen, she's probably been in.
Calvin Klein, Free People.
Everything that you can think of. And her name is Alexa J.
Woo!
Yay! Hi. Welcome to the pod.
Thank you. This is as close as I'm getting to a Grammy. Like that intro is everything I've ever wanted and more. Thank you so much.
Hello. How are you?
Good. I've wanted to be here forever. I feel like this was something I was manifesting as well.
And the reason why I brought up the manifesting is because I remember in the beginning of your whole career, like you worked a 9 to 6, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you were doing content.
It's not even 9 to 5. It's 9 to 6.
It's 9 to 6 now. Yeah.
She's like, putting in that work.
No, she is, right?
I was doing a 5 a.m. to 3. It was not cute.
Oh, wow.
It was
my own
personal
Where house. Was that?
I was a wine and spirits rep for Gallo Winery.
Oh, my gosh.
So I was in the trenches.
Oh okay, period.
But it gave me grit. I can handle anybody and anything.
A chip on your shoulder.
I love
absolutely.
That.
And I did learn a lot in business sense. So, but yeah, during that time, it was COVID. So, but we were still working. We were very much still working.
Everyone had to drink. They're like, honestly, the world's shutting down.
They were like, we've never been, like, busier, actually.
Please.
Yeah.
Really?
Like,
stopping.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Alcohol sales did like the best they've seen ever during COVID. It was insane because
that's
everybody was just at home.
Becoming alcohols.
Literally. Exactly.
Becoming alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Wait, yeah. So where are you from?
I'm from Palos Verdes, California, which is like the suburbs of Los Angeles.
Right. Yeah. A really small farm town.
Yeah. It's more of a beach town, I would say.
No,
but
I'm
a
joking.
Farm town.
It's like the most bougiest place in the world. I'm obsessed
okay,
with PB.
Like,
are you kidding?
No.
It's gorge.
So I remember watching you on TikTok and you were saying how you were in this all-white sorority, mm-hmm. being one of the only Black women or even people of color in general at this sorority, let alone the school.
Yeah.
How was that for you?
For me, it wasn't that much of a change from high school.
Okay.
Like, my high school was the same exact. I can count the amount of Black people at my high school on my hand.
Wow.
Like, I was, I this is like bad to say, but I think of my high school as, like, everyone that went there, and then there was, like, the group that was, like, social and outside and, like, everyone knew and was hanging out with. So of that group that was social, which was, like, a majority of the people, I was the only Black girl, for sure, 100%, in my friend group and everything. And it was definitely, like, I feel like in the past, like, 4 years of my life, I've really, like, started working through what that did to me mentally. And then so going to college, for me, I remember when I was applying to schools, I would just Google, like, racism stories at blank university.
Wow.
Like, I would spiral. I would go down YouTube videos, articles, stories of girls that were in sororities. Like, and that's how I made my decision of my college. Like, I was just, like, whoever had the least amount of racist scandals, like, that's where I was going to go.
Right.
And then, you know, for me, what was hard is, like, growing up, everybody would always tell me who I was. Like, I didn't say who I was for myself. So people would tell me, you're not Black enough, but you're not white, but you're not skinny, but you're not fat, but you're not this, but you're not that. You know, I was just never me.
Yeah.
So going to college, I had no sense of self. So I was like, I'm just going to do what I've always done, which is blend in with the white girls.
Yep.
And so for me, it was like, I would rather be judged by a white woman than a Black woman. Like, it'll hurt my heart if there's a Black girl telling me I'm not Black enough. But if a white girl's telling me that, I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't care. So I just stuck to what was easy. And I don't even think my college had the Divine Nine. If they did, they probably, like, met in a classroom, like, once a week at my school. Like, that was not advertised. Like, the minority sororities and fraternities, they did not.
Like, AKs and stuff. Yeah, my college was the same way. We didn't have it at all.
Where were you at?
I was at this super small private school in upstate New York called Marist College.
Okay.
So, I feel that. So you got there, and then you were introduced to, like, these white sororities.
Yeah, so my best friend from high school went with me. She's Japanese, like, still one of my best friends to this day. So we were like, okay, we're just going to, if you're going to do it, I'm going to do it. Let's go through sorority recruitment. Yep. Let's see what happens. And I had a fabulous time. Like, I can talk. I can make people, I feel like my superpower is, like, making other people feel good. So for me, sorority recruitment was easy because I would just go there and I would talk and do whatever. And I, like, got all the houses back that I wanted. I picked the house that I wanted, and to this day, that's the house that I was meant to be in. And all the girls I live with today, they were all in my sorority. Like, they're my best friends for life, forever.
Oh my gosh. Like, so it's a success story.
It is a success story, but, like, shit was happening while we were there.
Of course, you still had.
Oh, I remember. So we were like, okay, this is so corny. Like, the only way we're gonna make our sorority not corny is if we're in charge. So we all ran for office. So I was vice president.
Okay.
My friend was president. My friend was standards, whatever. My friend that was standards, social media, and one other all got kicked out before the semester ended. Because we were the bad girls too, Like, we were
as
the party girls. Exactly. So I was vice president. I remember we were like, we got one date dash. I don't know what you guys call them, like, date parties.
Yeah,
date parties. Gotta bring a date or whatever. That was on a Sunday. It was, like, a really fun, like, Sunday day party one, not at nighttime. And we were like, oh, we're going to – I think it was me and my friend Planet. We're like, we're going to do a Gucci Mane themed So Icy Sunday. Like,
oh my gosh.
The sickest thing ever. My friend was a graphic designer. She made the coolest shirt ever with, like, Gucci Mane and his, like, ice cream tattoo and, like, all this stuff. It was so
cool. You already know
it was
2018?
This was, I think it was. Oh, it was over.
That's something we
would have
tried.
Everyone was so excited. Everybody wanted the shirt, so everybody wanted to come on this date dash. Oh, we got the call the next day. Gucci Mane is just not a representation of Kappa Delta, and we just are not going to be using that and doing that. I was like, okay, what if I put Beyonce on the shirt? Is it a Black person, or is it Gucci Mane, or, like, what is it?
What is it exactly?
And they were like, we're just going to stay away from pop culture for our da-da-da. I'm like, I don't even.
And then they picked, like, Carly Rae Jepsen or some shit.
I don't even think we did it. I think we were like, we don't even care anymore.
It's interesting that you are, like, obviously a model or, like, in this industry of, like, beauty and stuff, but you're growing up in an all-white space, and then you go to a college of an all-white space. Mm-hmm. How does that affect your perception of yourself and your own personal beauty?
I would say, you know, I did not know I was beautiful until probably my senior year of college. I had literally no idea. I remember my dad sat me down before I went to college, and he was like, it's just funny thinking about it now because it was, like, low-key a diss, but it was nice also. But he was like, you know, I know, like, boys don't really fuck with you right now, but, like, when you go to college, he's like, everything's going to change. He's like,
leave
you've just been around white boys your whole life. He was like, when you go, he's like, you're finally going to, like, blossom. It's going to be amazing. I was like, you don't know what I do, but you're right. He was literally right. I wasn't doing anything. I was doing nothing. So, like, I was, like, a sweet, innocent angel when I went to college. I did not get in trouble in high school. I barely drank. I never smoked weed. I like made out with like two guys. Like I wasn't doing anything because I was so anxious and so not sure of myself in anything that like I just wasn't a risque person in any way of my life. I wasn't taking any risk at all. So when I went to college, I was like, this is my time. Like I get to be crazy. I get to do whatever I want to do. I was still safe because anxiety, but feel like when I went there, I wasn't dressing how I wanted to dress. I never felt like myself. Like I always say that to people, it's like I've never been myself. And so I feel like my last few years, like it was COVID, I went through a lot with like my body. So I dated a guy. I had my first boyfriend my first year of college and he was horrific. Like went from me like I had no experiences with boys. So I didn't know what a relationship was really supposed to be like. And so it was just extremely abusive, extremely toxic. Like really just when I tell people the stories, I don't know if you've seen the TikTok trend when it's like when I tell people what really happened and then people's like faces are just like insane. Yeah. Like if I filmed your guys' reaction to me telling you what that relationship was actually like people pass out. Like it's crazy.
Oh my God.
So that just sent me in like a really bad place mentally. And then I feel like that kind of led into me being extremely self-conscious about myself and my body. And so I went through like a really big weight loss my junior year. I think I lost like 60 pounds over the summer.
Wow.
Not in a safe way at all. If anybody knows what the HCG diet is, stay far away, run away. It's horrible. Everyone I know.
I've never heard of that before.
It was horrible. You eat 500 calories a day and you drop like 2 pounds a day.
Oh my gosh.
Like you can't sustain that.
No, that's that's horrible.
My gosh.
For the body.
No,
and for the mind. I'm so sorry that you had to go through that.
So bad. So bad. And I just had no idea. Like, you know, like I'm just thinking, oh my God, I'm losing 2 pounds today. This is perfect.
Yeah.
And it was the hardest mental thing I've ever been through because like the mental strain you have to put yourself through to be like, I'm so fucking hungry and I'm not going to eat. But like after that, it was like that was like the gateway. Like I was like, OK, I handled that. I could do this with my body. I can do anything. I can push any limit. So it went from, OK, like I just don't need to eat today. Like
it became 500 competition
calories.
With yourself.
Like, yeah. Like if I want to drop 3 pounds by this week, like I don't need to eat that or I don't need to do that. So it just became this like game of like I can accomplish anything. Then it was like, OK, I can just do coffee today. And it like I finally realized like I was my meals were coffee and I would get to the end of the day and I would be laying in my bed trying to sleep and my heart would be pounding.
Oh my God.
And I finally said to my friend, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with me. Like my heart is pounding all the time. And my friend's like, because you drink so much fucking coffee. And I was like, oh, my God. God, coffee affects me. Like I never was someone that was like, I drink my coffee and I feel energized. Like I just like coffee. And so then I finally realized like, oh, this is really like affecting my body.
Yeah. And I'm sure it also didn't help that surrounding, like with the people around you, everyone was like a size 00.
Literally.
Everyone like, and also everyone's body is very different. They'll have one meal and they'll still be a, like, they won't gain any weight. And
I think, yeah, we're like the last generation of diet culture too.
Yeah,
like, parents were on a diet I did the HCG diet with my parents. Like,
wow. I was literally on Jenny Craig with my mom.
Oh, yeah. Because, well, the other thing is like, my parents are the greatest people in the world, but like they obviously struggle with their bodies as well. So when you're watching that as a kid, like it's only natural. It's not their fault at all, but it's just like you're seeing that. And so for me, I'm like, oh, it's totally normal to like restrict myself
do
this.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then no one really knew what was going on around me. You know, I think at that point I wasn't living in the sorority anymore. I was by myself. So you're doing your own meals, you're doing everything like that. You know, I also struggle with like binge eating. So when I was in the sorority, it was really hard for me because it's buffet style. So I was like, I can't be here. But when I'm at home by myself, then I'm not eating
There's
anything.
There's no in between.
It was just too bad for me. And then what the main kicker was my drinking is that I was not eating anything.
And
I went to the biggest like blackout culture school of all time. And I've never been a mean drunk. I've never been an angry drunk. But it was like every time I would start drinking, I would black out and I would be Satan. Satan was walking in me. It was horrible. And it was the night before my 21st birthday. I like blacked out at some bar and was just like scream crying to my friend. She had to take me home. And I've like never been one to like throw up or on like when I'm drunk or anything.
Yeah.
And I like threw up in my bed and I woke up the next day. And this is why like my friends are my sisters for life. Like most people would be like, you fucked up last night. Like get your shit together, figure it out. It was the morning of my 21st birthday. My friends came into my room and they were like, we love you so much. Something's not right. Like we booked an emergency appointment for you to go to therapy if you want to go to that.
Those are good friends.
Great friends. So that morning I went to my first therapy appointment. It was the best thing that's ever happened to me. And then from there I like started my whole journey. And I feel like that's why like my job today is so important to me because I've been through so much with everything. And like, I've felt what it feels like to hate yourself. Mm-hmm. And I felt what it feels like to like genuinely love yourself. And what I feel like figuring out where your love for yourself comes from is so important.
100%.
Because it was always like very misogynistic ways that I was getting happiness. Yep, like, it was through hooking up with a guy or someone being interested in me or compliments or things like that. Like, none of it was from myself. Mm. So that's been my main journey, is like, this is the biggest way I've ever been, but I've never been more confident and in love with myself. Mm. Like, I just have realized, like, there's such a separation of true self-love and loving what you look like. Like,
I just...
I can look anyway now and I will not hate myself again, because I refuse to feel like that ever again. I was suffering, like every day suffering, and it's just, it's not, I can't live like that anymore.
No,
you shouldn't. That's, we're really,
first of all, thank you for sharing, with us. Like, I just feel like, and I was thinking about this last night, it is so, not even refreshing, it is so inspiring and admirable to like see a campaign or see like someone, like see you on TikTok and see you on social media, and like you are always speaking your truth and you're always authentically yourself. And even on your worst days, like there's some days where I've seen you crying in the car on TikTok and you're so honest about it. Like, hey, today is not a good day. Tomorrow's gonna be a shit day. Tomorrow might be a great day. And I feel like when, like my little sister, I send her your stuff because I want someone, I want her to look up to someone like you.
That's so nice.
When I was younger, we had women like you who are not like a white woman, size zero, blonde, straight hair. You are one of the most beautiful humans I've ever seen.
That's literally
like
so
ethereal.
Nice.
Literally.
And I'm just so grateful that we have you in this world.
Thank you.
To be
so
talking
much.
Your shit and telling
so
your
nice.
Story.
Thank
no,
you.
Because genuinely it's something that you don't see every day. And I feel like also you'll see like in a campaign or whatnot, there's just one woman who's curvy. but you've called that out. Everyone's so quiet and hush hush about it. Mm-hmm. And you've always broken barriers about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I just want to say we're really proud of you.
Oh, like, thank you so much.
I remember the day that you dropped the video of you and your friend calling out a club. Mm-hmm. I remember you getting your braids done and sharing that online. First, I wanted to ask you before we get into that video, what did taking those first steps in like self-love, like what did that journey look like when you first started it? What did it feel like sharing online and being so transparent, like on TikTok and these other social media apps? I want to ask you about that first.
Yeah. I feel like my first steps of self-love were committing to my mental health, going to therapy, putting in the work. I remember like the first few months of sitting in therapy, like my therapist would like make plans with me. Like I'd be like, I'm a Virgo. Like I need a fucking plan. Like you want me to get better?
Control.
What's the plan? What are we doing, people? And we'd sit there and she'd say like, okay, so on Wednesday you're going to go grocery shopping and you're going to go with your friend and you're going to make a list before and your friends and you are going to make sure you get everything on the list. And in my head, I'm like, not fucking doing that. Thank you very much.
That's
but
Virgo.
Like, it, like, I would just remember like we would come up with solutions, but I didn't want to change at all because the fear of like gaining weight was so much worse than the fear of like anything else, because you see the difference in treatment. Doors were open for me when I was skinny.
Right.
The red carpet was rolled out. Men were literally gawking at me. Like, you get that instant gratification of whatever.
Yep.
And but at the same time, I'd never been. It was to the point where, like, if I put something on and it didn't look right, don't talk to me tonight. I'm not going out. I'm not
staying
right.
No, might as well
like,
just not go out.
Oh, I wouldn't. Like, I would stay inside sobbing, crying.
Yep.
And, you know, what are you going to do about it? You know? So I feel like committing myself to changing was the first step. And really, like, realizing where all of my fears were coming from. And it was all, like, related to men. And I hate that so much because I hate men. And so I was just realizing, like, why am I, like, determining my happiness over if a guy is going to find me attractive?
Yep.
Like, that I'm just so over feeling like that. But it's human nature.
Yeah,
like,
pandering to the male gaze.
Exactly.
And you're not alone. Like, we talk about that all the time, especially being in a predominantly white school or in a college in general.
I feel
like
Josie.
So many girls get accustomed to, like, if I don't get guys' validation or attention tonight, then I haven't won the night. It's almost like a game.
Yes.
And, like, you're constantly losing with yourself.
Totally.
So it's that journey of changing, like, the need for male validation to like self-appreciation.
Yeah, and like self-worth too. Like your worth as a human, as a woman, is based off how many men try to get with you that night.
Yeah.
I feel like I was also like tokenized a lot being the only black girl.
Absolutely.
I'm sure.
I never want to be your friend for like fucking insincere reasons.
This is going to make you die.
Go
but
on.
I remember it was MLK Day, like my sophomore year or something. And this girl, she was like a funny party girl in like a different sorority. She like grabbed me for this photo, and I didn't even realize what was going on till after it was posted, but it was me and the three other black guys that were there, and she posted like happy MLK Day or like thank you MLK for this moment.
What the
and
fuck?
I didn't even see it, and like one of my friends, my good friends, who was one of her good friends, came up to me and was like, did you see this shit? Like, is she gonna like, what is this? And I was like, I'm
what
gonna let you handle
mean?
That like yeah, she that's just not, thought yeah. all the like great you got three black people around you, congratulations. Like it was just weirdo shit.
That's
like very
weird. MLK would not have MLK would slap you, babe.
Yeah. It
no,
was,
he wouldn't.
I didn't even know what was going on.
Like, MLK would not like
MLK
you.
MLK would definitely give a look of disapproval because not what he meant at all. But yeah, just like moments like that, I felt like I didn't know when my compliments were genuine or like so many of them was like people putting on like a black sign being like, yes, girl, like you look so good. I'm
they
like,
still do that today on TikTok too.
People absolutely do. And I'm like, just
talk to me normal.
Just speak
and also,
normal.
We don't know each other like that.
We do not know each other like that.
That'd be my thing. I'm like, why are you coming up to me? Yes, girl. Period.
Yeah.
Like, you are white.
And then I'm like, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful day.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like a lot of people, when they're starting therapy, they can get like lost in it too.
Yeah.
So what were the keys that you like hung on to or that started to click in your mind that like allowed you to start taking those necessary steps?
I think one, not to toot my own horn, but I've always been grounded. Like, even when I had my eating disorder, like, I knew I had an eating disorder. I knew what was going on, and I was, like, handling it even though I wasn't handling it, if that makes sense. And, like, I feel like I've always just been – I take care of myself. Like, I've always been very self-sufficient. And so throughout all of these things, I was like, I know what's going on, and I know the changes I need to make in the person that I want to be and the woman I want to be.
Yes.
And it's just, like – I think, like, having forgiveness for yourself in those moments is
major. You have
major.
To be graceful with yourself.
You can't be mad at yourself. If I spent all my time beating myself up, like, I wouldn't be here, you know? So I think just realizing that I, like, I'm going to be okay no matter what. And it's – therapy is hard because you start realizing things you didn't even realize before. So I remember I'd go to therapy. I'd come out angry. I'd be like,
also,
I'm about to call my parents. I'm pissed off. Like,
yeah.
But – it is what it is. You got to work through that stuff, and it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah. Of course, you're evolving and doing the work, which is hard.
You also have to be ready for therapy. People sometimes are not ready to change, and you have to just let them do their thing and let it grow. But you have to be ready. And I think Alicia mentioned this earlier about the hashtag not tonight that I want to talk about quickly.
Absolutely.
So you had this awful moment, right, with your friend where you went to a club, essentially. And if you could give us more context, obviously, from your personal perspective. But you went to a club and they had let the other women in around you and not you guys. And you guys blatantly were dealing with discrimination and bigotry and then called out this club in a very open, transparent way. And then this thing became viral, right?
Mm-hmm.
And essentially all you were asking for was accountability and for people to talk about this nightlife culture and the awful things that happen. And I don't understand why, because it sounds like common sense for us to talk about it and say this isn't okay. But you received a lot of backlash for that. Like,
absolutely,
how was that journey? How are you still dealing with it now? Like, also, are you okay?
Thank
like, I think
you.
It's important to ask. Like, I feel like probably not enough people have asked you, are you okay? Like, that
I'm
was an
okay.
awful thing, and
yeah.
people are asking you to explain it
yeah.
all the time.
I was not okay, like, right after it happened.
Yeah.
Like, so many people this past month have been like, oh, my God, it's so good to see you. Like, where have you been? Or like, girl, we haven't hung out in so long. I miss you. Like, I haven't heard from you. And I'm like,
bitch.
No one's heard from me. I had just had so much bad anxiety about everything because I was like, before when people would come up to me, I'm so fortunate that people that follow me, like, feel comfortable to say hi to me sometimes. And it's always, I love what you're doing, or I saw the campaign, or I saw this. And now you're talking to me about the most important embarrassing moment of my life, you know? So it was just like I had to be mentally prepared for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm confident when I talk about things on the internet because I get myself in that mental space to talk about it. And then, you know, it was just like I needed to be ready at all times for someone to say it. And people come up to me more than you would think. Like, I can't even put it into words.
Oh, I bet.
It's crazy. It's really crazy. And so I just needed to be ready for that. And, you know, you're also just fearful it's going to happen again. Mm, you know, I don't know if the bouncers are talking. Like, I don't know what's going on. And, you know, when I did that, you know, you don't never know who's connected or if, you know, maybe some incel man saw it on the news and wants to yell that I'm fat out the window or something. You know, like, you just never know what's going to happen. So I was just like, I would rather just be at home safe with my friends where nothing can hurt me. But after that happened, it was just like a horrible night. Like, I didn't even want to go out that night, but it was my friend's birthday. I hate letting people down, and she's so supportive of me. I was like, I need to just go support her.
Yeah.
So I go, and it's like a really big group of girls. I meet them outside of the club. Everyone's nice. Everyone was diverse. So, you know, that's why in all of this, I didn't say anything about race, because there were so many Black girls in that group that were let in. Mm. And we were like the last couple in the group. And I could see the bouncer looking at me. My friend didn't go in. I don't know if you guys have been to Highlight Room before, but it's pretty much like a funnel straight in. Yeah. So everyone always asks, the girls didn't wait for you. Nobody knew what was going on. The only person that knew was the birthday girl who was making sure everybody was getting in.
Right.
And so when I get to the front, I literally walked through the rope because he put it on and just walked away. Like, he put the rope on so I wouldn't get in, walked away. And then it just slowly started clicking for me what was going on. And then my friend Ella, she wasn't there for the birthday party, but she was just there. And I'm a girl's girl, so I'm like, just come with us. Like,
yeah, exactly.
When we walk in, just join our table. It's two more people. Like, who cares?
Exactly.
And he was like, nope, not you guys, not tonight. No. Like, just disrespectful as fuck. Like, he wouldn't look at me, wouldn't say anything. And I was A, sober, thank God. B, I'm not stupid. Like, I'm a Black woman. I'm not gonna stand out the club yelling and screaming and crying to get in, because then I look crazy. It doesn't matter what you did to disrespect me. I know how I'm gonna look.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so I kept it cool. I kept it cute. I took my little picture of him.
Right.
I did my thing, and then Ella handled it. And thank God for Ella. She stepped in. She's white. And she was like, this is fucked up. Like, what is wrong with you? You're really not gonna let us in. Is this a size issue? What's going on? Da-da-da-da-da. She starts yelling at the other bouncer, and I'm just letting her do her thing. I'm like,
good,
you're saying
Ella.
What I need to say. So thank you.
Period. Yeah.
And
it's not your battle to fight. Like, people should be sticking up for you. So this is really good.
Oh, it was great. It was so nice. And I was just standing there embarrassed. Like, all the other part was, I'm embarrassed. Like, there's I'm seeing guys I used to date.
Oh.
I'm seeing companies I've worked for. Like, my IMG contact was there. My Tiger Miss contact was there. Like, three girls I followed was there, or they followed me was there. Like, while this is happening, people are like, can I take a photo with you? I'm like, I'm trying not to cry. But yes. Let's smile, whatever. And so it was just too much. It was too much. And so we leave, and then the next day I woke up, and when I got home, I was like, let me just film myself, like, while I take my makeup off, and just so I remember how I feel right now.
Yeah.
And so I filmed it, and then the next morning I kind of remembered everything that happened, watched the video again, and I texted Ella. I was like, I think I'm gonna post this. And it was the video of me, like, taking my makeup off and crying. And she was like, yeah, and then come over and, like, let's talk about everything. So I went over there, and that's when me and her filmed a video together and posted it. But by the time I had posted that, my video had kind of started going viral. And I remember my manager called me, my modeling agency, David Todd, I love you. And he basically was like, I saw your video and I want you to know I stand with you 100%. Anything you want to do with it, anything you want to say. He's like, I'm a gay man. I've experienced discrimination. Like, we stand with you. Like, we love you, your body, everything about you. You don't need to change. So whatever happens, like, you're good. And that was a fear of mine. It's like, you don't know if you're going to lose work for speaking out about things. This is like one of the biggest clubs in LA. They have locations in New York now. Like, you just never know. Like, there's events at Highlight Room, at Tao, at all of these things. So I was just like terrified. But that was just really nice knowing that my agent, like, supported me. I was like, okay, I can do this. So we did that video. It went crazy. And so, you know, 99% of the women are supportive. There was, like, a couple little pick-me's that were being crazy on the internet.
Okay.
Like, I didn't even – any video someone made that was negative, I have to this day not watched.
No, and you don't need to.
No, I just can't. Like, I literally can't. Like, I'll freak out. I cannot watch those videos. The comments would get me enough. Like – and to me, it was, like, people just took it so fucking far. Like,
so
why are you so, like, bothered by this that you need to send me a death threat every morning for the next month?
Oh, my God.
Like, people were so, like, you know, just ripping me to shreds,
And you know that they're, like, some
so
underground
sorry.
Little city rat.
Literally.
Like, feral that, like, is hiding behind a screen trying to put
the
another
time,
woman down.
The
like,
time to send me a message every morning at 8 a.m.
But
the
woman
dot,
down
like,
for literally no reason.
No reason.
Like, you were just
no
experienced discrimination.
Yeah. And we didn't even do anything. anything other than be like, all we said was like, highlight rhyme, do better.
Yeah.
Like, that's what
you
we
didn't
said.
Say anything disrespectful.
No,
I
you
still
didn't.
Remember watching no. the video for the first time and going like, wow, the bravery of these two women.
Oh, thanks.
Also, specifically, you being a black woman. Like, mm-hmm. let's talk about it. I think people in society are way too comfortable policing black women's bodies, black women's voices, their anger. You sat there standing up next to your friend and said, this is not cool. We should stand up for each other. We shouldn't allow this. And also, what you're saying isn't rare, which yeah. is what's messed up. It's rare for people to talk out about it and to shed light on it, but establishments and groups of people should be held accountable. And I think what you did was so brave. And also, you did it in a really classy way, which you shouldn't have had to
Thank
be
you.
Honest. If you would have gotten on TikTok and started cussing people out, I would have respected it just as much and be
you.
Like, yes, sis, period, as I laid in my bed and watched this video. But yeah, I still remember being so like taken aback and dumbfounded by the comments. People were making it like you were privileged. Like, yeah. oh, they made it an influencers conversation, which I remember. They were mm-hmm. like, oh, influencers just expect to be
Get
let in everywhere.
Free,
oh, shut
like,
the fuck
like,
up.
Da, 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 da. Which it's like, no, this is discrimination.
Yeah.
People still are awful to people with you know, mm-hmm. that don't always fit quote unquote standards or whatever it may be.
And to make it an influencer thing, like the whole point of the videos we said in the original video that has millions of views is like, we're doing this for all the women that don't get to speak up. I
yeah,
know I have privilege 100%. Being an influencer. I know I have
privilege
being a mixed black woman. I know I have so much privilege.
But when you're there with mm-hmm. the security guard, you're not an influencer.
You're
to
none
them.
Of those
like,
things.
No,
yeah,
exactly. No.
You're not. You're just another girl.
No, and to me, I don't even think of that. Like, it didn't even cross my mind to be like, do you know who I am? Like, what the
no.
fuck is that going to do? You
yeah.
know? Like,
yeah.
People
I
are trying to steer away from the real issue.
The real issue. That was yeah. what bothered me is so many people were doing things or like people would ask, well, if the girls shouldn't have gone in without you. Why are we talking about that? If that was an issue, I would have said that.
Yeah.
I would have said, fuck
no, but
those
I know
girls.
Exactly what you mean. Like yeah. you get checked and then you mm-hmm. go
yeah,
and
you literally go
the
in
thing.
You
and
file
it's not,
in.
It's not
and,
like a
and I didn't know any of them. I met them all that night for the first time. Like yeah. it wasn't like these were my girls. Like if
and
that was
all
my
the,
roommates,
the,
someone would have died. Like someone yeah, literally would have
yeah,
got
yeah,
beat
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they're not. Nobody deserves to be
exactly
made to feel that way.
Well, it's I think it goes back to like making someone feel like an other.
Yeah.
And always, and it's so isolating because, like, I understand from a different perspective. Like, I'm also a curvy one. In my friendship group, I was always, like, the largest one. And, like, I'm not even. Also, the sizing called plus size modeling.
Mid-size, plus size.
How do you
plus
feel
size,
about
size.
That?
I
have lots of thoughts about everything.
I'm going to pitch something to you, and I want your thoughts on this, okay? I think the word plus size models is the dumbest thing in the entire world. Because mm-hmm. you don't call Bella Hadid a minus sized model.
Mm-hmm.
You don't call them minus sized. You're either a model or just you're just a
yeah.
human. Like, that is
yeah.
it.
And specifically in America, the average woman isn't the size of any sample size.
No, it's
of
not.
Of any fucking sample
like,
size.
I remember, like, Paloma Lesser, who's, I've said this so many times, she's my favorite model.
Iconic.
She's iconic, but, like, for Miu Miu's campaign, they've had to stitch two
I
different skirts together to just make it for the campaign that she was starring in.
Uh-huh.
And so, the
crazy.
Size, like, curve model, models in general, what are your thoughts on that? Because I can't stand this.
If you look on my site, I'm signed to DT Model Management, you see me with every other model. There's no separate tab. There's
Amazing.
No anything. Like, I am a model in their eyes. I'm not any different because I'm plus size, because I'm curve, whatever. I've always had an issue. I feel like I might literally just be speaking for myself. And this is another thing that I've gotten hate for that I don't really understand. I recently was introduced to Reddit and I didn't think I would be included in that. I really
didn't
think I was
go
included
on Reddit.
In that. I thought that was for like the millions of followers. Like, I didn't think anybody was
no.
talking about me.
There's some dark
and
holes there.
Horrific. It was like this whole Reddit thread about how I'm like a fake plus size influencer
huh?
because I wasn't always plus size. And I'm like,
what?
Is that
what
a real thing?
What are you talking about? I'm
are
like,
people okay?
All, they're not okay. First of all, I have always been a size larger, extra large. Always, always, always. And
but
like,
even if you weren't.
Yeah, no, like, who cares?
What?
Like, literally, who cares?
Also, why is
I don't
it any
know?
Of your fucking business, like,
no,
what
people
size
just,
I am?
Like, it just shows that people are literally just, like, want to be mean and are so bored. Like,
How
you
sad.
Had to
That's
find
so
something
pathetic.
About me that you could be mean about, and it was that. So, I was like, first of all, I deleted everything off my Instagram from the moment I graduated college. Like, everything's archived. So, you see my graduation photo, and then you see me
that's
today.
Literally
like,
me.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Nothing else is relevant to anyone else. That's for me to look at. We don't need to deal with anything. So if you're looking, yeah, I was really fucking small then because that was the peak of my eating disorder when I graduated college.
Yeah.
So you're seeing
not
that, but you're
reverse
not,
shame you.
Oh, literally, it's so weird. It's very weird to me. But you know, there is a lot of discord. You see it with Remy Bader all the time. You know,
yes.
She's someone who has talked about how she's gained weight. She's trying to lose weight. She doesn't feel comfortable in her body sometimes. That is so normal. And like, so for me,
it's a human condition.
Exactly. It's so hard because I am someone who's always like, you see the differences in treatment of when you're plus size and when you're not. I would love to be treated how I was treated when I was skinny all the time. But like, for me, I don't feel that like need for my own self-worth to be smaller. Mm. Like, you know, I've struggled a lot because I haven't worked out in like literally 2 years. And that's why I'm gaining weight, because I'm eating anything I could want to because I feel like I restricted myself for so long. I deserve to indulge.
You're allowed to do whatever the fuck you want. You're a grown woman.
And it shouldn't affect anybody. Like,
no,
literally,
it doesn't. Exactly.
So I, you know, I've struggled recently because I've just had so much anxiety thinking about the gym, but I'm like getting to that point where I'm like, I'm excited again to work out and I want to do that. But, you know, I already know there's going to be people that are disappointed in me because if I work out again, I'm going to lose weight. Like that's just going to happen. And so I don't ever want to like, you know, it's just scary to think about what people are going to say if I start losing weight. You
but
know,
people
it's
are, just, they're always going to say something.
Exactly. People are and always no matter,
I mean, you could be the smallest person in the world or the largest person in the world. People are going to be mad.
Yeah. You're so right.
And like, they're always going to come for you and say something negative about who you are, which is why you just have to drown out the noise.
Drown out everything.
As best as you can. But I can't imagine that sense of pain, especially when like we're so into like commercializing everything and labeling everything nowadays and like putting people in niche markets like plus size or trans model or gay model or black model or whatever it is. It's like you feel the need to upkeep yourself to maintain that perception
of
you in people's eyes when it's like you only need to be worrying about yourself and fuck everybody else.
You're so right. So like linking back to the highlight room stuff, it was hard because being someone who it's not that I was ever shameful of being fat, but, like, it's not something I would always talk about, you know?
Sure.
And it's something that I've always struggled with my whole life. So then to go on the news and all of these, like, literally my grandma's FaceTiming me saying, I'm watching the news and I'm seeing you.
Yeah.
And it's them talking about me being fat. And so I had to sit my whole family down, you know, and brace them for this, brace everybody. Yep. Like, you know, it's not fun for me to have, like, my brother's football team watching me, a story about me not getting in the club, like, it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun to talk about. Nobody wants to talk about a bad experience that happened with them. And I'm very proud of who I am and what I look like and all of those things. But it's not like I enjoy someone discriminating against me because I'm fat. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like, it's
like
it never becomes easy. And also, frankly, you shouldn't have had to do it. And you didn't need to do it. And you decided to. But I just know for a fact that you made a lot of people feel seen. You made a lot of people who maybe weren't talking about it talk about it, and you shed a light on it. And I think that that is a huge deal. Like, I'm really proud of you, and I can't imagine that it'll ever get easier.
Thank you.
And I also like want to say in regards to like your journey, it's hills and valleys. Like, you know, healing isn't linear. I feel like I have to tell myself that all the time, because certain days I'll do better than others, and I'm like, damn, I thought like I got over this, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I forget that I want to give myself but also other people the liberty to change and evolve and feel different and look different and feel beautiful in all those phases, even if, you know, it's an uphill battle, right? Because it's like important to not do that toxic positivity thing. Like, I've enjoyed that this entire conversation, you're so candid about the fact that it like wasn't easy when you were doing those things. Like, you have a platform and you're just using it so well.
Yeah.
Like,
and that was the other thing. Like, I didn't want people to think I was doing it to go viral or followers.
No,
like,
of course not.
Yeah. When Ella posted it, she like, I could have done a joint reel with her on Instagram and gotten so many followers, all these things. I was like, no, I don't feel comfortable doing that yet. Like, you post it, I'll repost and I'll talk about what I'm comfortable with. But like, I just am not, it's not that I wasn't as strong as her, but I just wasn't. She's someone that's always been in the media and always have done interviews and all of these things. Mm-hmm. And like, I've never done that before. So I was just like, I need to tread very lightly. Like, if you watch the news interviews, I've never done any of those. Like, it's all Ella that's done it. They asked me for a comment, I'll do it. I was also traveling during that time, but like, I just was very cautious with everything I did because I also know I'm perceived differently than Ella. I'm black. So I am just was very cautious with everything. And so I don't feel shameful about that either because I did what was comfortable for me. But, you know, I all I really wanted was like an end result. Mm. And that never happened because they never apologized. They never apologized.
No, they
never said anything. And then literally like 4 days ago,
what?
I went to dinner at Delilah. And through all this, one of the best connections I've made is, like, one of the owners of Delilah. Her name is Marsha. She's amazing. She had Ella and I on her podcast, and now we're all friends. And so we did, like, a girls' night dinner. And we're leaving Delilah, and it's me and Ella together outside and our friend Gigi. And all of a sudden, this guy's, like, coming up to Ella to talk to her. I'm like, what the fuck? And he's like, I'm the asshole that didn't let you guys in. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. I was looking at Ella. I literally dropped my head. I was like, oh my God, it's happening. It's happening. I've dreamed about this moment forever, and it's finally happening. And who would have thought me and Ella would be together? Like,
wow.
Outside of this random place that's the bouncer.
The universe did that.
Oh, yeah. So he's like, I just wanted to say I'm so sorry. I've lost sleep over this. I can't believe that, you know, I made you guys feel that way. He was like, he was definitely being a man during this conversation.
Of course he was.
So he's like,
kind of victimizing himself.
Oh,
yeah. Right? Poor him.
Being such, like, a little pussy ass bitch. I was like, dude, aww. I don't feel bad for you. Okay, just wait. So
no.
He's like, on those nights, I'm like a frontline worker. I'm getting thrown to the dogs. I'm like, not you comparing yourself to
cameras.
A U.S. soldier.
Cut the cameras.
I'm him comparing himself to a nurse during the COVID epidemic.
I'm like,
pandemic.
Suddenly the Republicans are on my side. Like, all you needed is that one diss. But anyway, so he was just like, I've lost sleep over this. You can ask the mother of my children. Like, sometimes I stay up at night thinking about it. First of all, thinking about what? Like, this has nothing to do with you because we never put your name or your photo out there.
Very true.
People are talking to Highlight Room. No one has talked about you at all.
No one, like, knows it's you.
Nothing happened to you. Yeah, so you're welcome because I had your name. You had your full name, sir.
Ooh. And I had a picture.
Oh, I had a photo of you and I had a video of you. I could have put a We Hate You train, but it's We Hate Highlight Room instead, so you're welcome. And then he went on this whole tangent and he was like, yeah, I'm like a frontline worker out there. It's overwhelming. I'm just, like, desensitized to it. Yeah, so to me, people are screaming my name. People have threatened my life before for not letting them in. And, like, God forbid I don't let a black girl in, then I'm a racist. Oh. I was like, all right. And you lost me.
And then
I was like, you lost me. First of all, sir, you got the wrong bitch because I never said that about you.
Yeah.
I said that it was because of my weight. I never pulled the race card because you let the other black women in our group. So I was like, I just want you to know that. And I was like, also, I would love to know, did I disrespect you that night? He was like, no, you didn't. And I was like, exactly. Because I'm cool. And I didn't. And he was like, actually, I don't even remember her. I just remember you. He was like, I only remember you. I don't remember Ella. I'm like, convenient that you remember the black girl in this situation, but you don't remember the girl that was literally cussing you out. How do you not remember Ella?
Yep.
She was the only one you were talking to. So I'm like, first of all, why did you bring up race? Nobody was talking about that. You brought it up and because you wanted to make yourself clear your name right now to me that you're also not a racist when I never called you one.
Which
so you're
non-racist
being
people
sus.
Don't need to say.
Yeah, I was exactly. going to say.
Sorry.
So you're already being sus about that. So don't care. Then you're telling me you're staying up late at night. No one's threatening your life or no one's anything because they don't know it was you.
You got the backlash.
I got the backlash, bitch. People follow me and tell me about this for the rest of my life. No one, no one attaches this to you. And I also see, what are you doing right now? Working. You're working.
Oh.
You got your same hat on, the same company you work for. You didn't lose your job. He said, Highlight Room told us he will no longer be working there. But obviously, Tao Group owns a bunch of different stuff. And he works for a private security or bouncing company. I don't know if those what you would call
it. A frontline company.
A frontline worker company, yes. Yeah. And so they, so I guess they're just contracted by a bunch of different nightlife places. So he's still working. He's totally fine, you know? And he told us, allegedly, that Highlight Room told him, they sat him down and were like, you did absolutely nothing wrong. We told you to only let a certain type of women in, and that's what you did. There's always going to be backlash to these decisions, but that's what we wanted you to do. So we're going to move you to this different location. Meanwhile, they're telling us,
we've done all the measures
this
that we
has could. No, they said this has nothing to do with Highlight Room. It's a bouncer gone rogue. It was all him. We would never tell people to not let a certain look in. Da-da-da-da-da. Mind you, after me, so they tried to set a meeting up. I've talked to them three times. I've talked to Highlight Room three times. One, and it's the same manager. She sucks. Her name is Mitzi. Don't care. She sucks. You can maybe take that out if you want to, but you can also leave it in.
We'll leave it in.
Oh, yeah. So Mitzi, she was like, I tried to get in contact with her. The first call, she's like, hello, who is this? Who is this? And I'm like, it's Alexa. You DM'd me your number. Like, what? Who else would be calling you? She's like, oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Thank you for calling me. I'm like, yeah, like, I'm sure. Obviously, you've seen the videos of what's going on about our experience. Like, you know, I would love to, like, not just talk about this on social media, but make an actual change. I would love to set up a meeting yes. with, like, you, me, and Ella, and maybe some higher-ups at the company, whoever can be there. Like, that's what we would prefer. And she was like, yeah, I just wanted to confirm, was it... was he the bouncer? And I was like, yep. And she was like, okay, that's what we thought. So I'm like, okay, so I didn't even have to tell you who it was. You already have obviously gotten complaints about this man because you already knew his name without name before. Exactly. Yep, I never had to tell you anything, and I never said it online either. So that was step number one. And then, you know, I was like, let me make sure Ella's schedule's free. But, like, this Saturday, let's say we talked on a Friday, where I was like, this Saturday, tomorrow seems like a good day for us to meet.
Right.
I go talk to Ella. She's like, we need to give it the weekend. She's like, right now they're going to say whatever they want to say. They're going to want to smooth it over. Like, let's give it the weekend, and then let's circle back Monday, make a new day.
Right.
Circle back with her Monday. By then, it's on every news source you could ever see, BuzzFeed, you know, Good Morning America, anything you can imagine. Everyone's talking about it. So I get on the call with her again, and I'm like, yeah, I would love to make a new time. And she's like, well, this has just gone way too far. She's like, the girls that work here are scared that they're going to get hurt and lose their lives.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
That someone's going to come and jump them, or people are going to come and, like, hurt them here. I was like, liar, because I'm talking to the girls that work there. They're reaching out to me and telling me that you guys have not addressed it with your employees, that you haven't done anything about this, that all you said is if someone asks you to talk about it, you're supposed to say no comment and not address it.
So, like, the actual employees of the Highlight
Room had reached out to me and were telling me things about it. They followed me. Like, what is going on? Like, you know, it was just ridiculous. And so... yeah, she basically, a flip had switched. She was so angry. And I was like, you know, I know how to talk to people. So I was like, I completely understand why you feel that way. But unfortunately, you know, we were the victims in this.
Right.
And I would still love to come to a conclusion and do this. And I was like, Ella is looking for it. Because Ella was very adamant. She was like, I want them to make this happen. They messed up. So I was like, this is our email. This is our phone numbers for both of us. If you could just make a meeting, like, we'll be there. Never heard from them again.
Wow.
Sent her another text, just following up, was hoping to get something on the books for this week. Never heard anything. Sent another text, never heard anything. Haven't heard anything from them since. They have no comment. We've reached out to the owners of everything. Like, no comment from anyone. Nobody wants to even touch it. Their comments are still off on Instagram. You can't leave reviews for them on Google. Like, that's their plan.
Oh, wow.
What a way to completely avoid the situation in the most blasphemous, immature, disrespectful
That's
way.
Pathetic.
A hospitality
with
business.
No accountability.
Ridiculous.
And have you considered legal action? Because it is against the law to discriminate against someone.
Yes, I have discussed with Ella, like, we talked about it. It's just really hard because in most discrimination things, like, weight is not included in
it.
Yeah,
I was going to ask that because I know that like, we work so hard. It's like for LGBTQ Americans, including, like, Black people and queer people, to protect them against discrimination from, like, schools, businesses. And I think it only just passed, like, a year ago or something, but I didn't know if weight was a factor in that.
It's not, which is so upsetting. And it's, like, something that was something me and Ella talked about as well. It's like, should we push for legislation about body inclusivity and discrimination with that? And I think in our case, what lawyers had told us was that it wasn't like he looked at us and said, no fat girls allowed or anything like that. So he did confirm for it for us later when we met him, you know, the other night. He did say, you know, they tell me to only let in certain look in, yada, yada, yada. So I was like, oh, so you don't think I'm cute? But I was just fucking with him. But anyways.
As you should.
I was just having fun. I could tell he was stressed when he was talking to
us. Yeah, let him be stressed. Let him go to sleep. That's
fine. He was
fine.
Like, I have two daughters, da, da, da. And I was like.
That's scary.
No, I literally said, I was like, I hope your two daughters never feel the way I felt that night. And it was so nice getting to look him in the eye and say that. Because
I'm so proud of you.
That's all I wanted to say is just, like, you don't realize, like, the effect you have on people. It might be 5 seconds for you, but, like, I haven't been to a club since. Like, I have not been enjoying my life since. And it's because of you. And I was like, I will remember you for the rest of my life. Like, this is going to be with me for the rest of my life. And, like, you get to wake up every day and be the bouncer. And, like, he was like... I'm old now. You think I want to be doing this? I do this to, like, make a living. I'm like, okay.
But you,
like,
still have to be awful.
Like, I don't know what that has to do with me. Like, go get a different job. Like, I really don't know what you are trying to make me feel bad for. Like, I don't feel bad for you at all.
And I think this all goes to show that with how much progress we think that we're doing in this industry and how much progress we think that we're making, people like him still exist and they're all over. Even the higher
and the
ups,
and the businesses still exist.
I was gonna
like
say
that.
The business, they're doing just fine, I'm sure of it. But, like, with how much progress we think we're making, but then there's the trailblazers like you who are actually doing something and making, like, I felt like an other before because I've been, you know, I'm wearing, you know, a size 32 on my pants and whatnot. Even though there's women who are larger than me, there's women who are smaller than me. Like, because of women like you who are making, even though that's not your job, even though you shouldn't have to have gone through that to say something.
Yeah.
Like, you are just so, like, you're outstanding. That's the one word I could think of.
I agree. Outstanding. And I also think it's important to note, like, it's beautiful that we're talking about diversity, right? But I think that we forget that, like, intersectionality isn't always the center of that conversation.
100%.
You know, when you are Black, when you are not a sample size, when you are not XYZ, like, what does that look like? And specifically with diversity, like, I wish it's beautiful that we talk about diversity in race and sexual orientation and how you identify, but it's like, I don't think that we see enough diversity in body types.
No,
you know,
we don't.
Or
don't influencer even get me, trips. Don't get me started.
Ooh, don't even get me started. Like,
Don't even get me started.
When it comes to individual disabilities, when it comes to people who are plus size and all those things, but how do you feel about influencer trips and a lack of diversity when it comes to body inclusivity?
It's just so interesting. Like, I just feel like there's people that really make it their life mission to be inclusive, and then there's people that want to check a box. Mm. And they want people to be able to look at their Instagram post and say, okay, 2 Black girls, 1 Hispanic girl, 1 Asian girl. Nice. They did it. Like, no. Like,
but why is everybody the same size?
Exactly. And, like, and then, like, I am so privileged. I grew up with a business mindset. My dad's a businessman. Like, I know how to make long-lasting relationships 100%. With people. So when I start working with these brands, I'm not just like, send me free product. Thank you so much. Good to see you. Like, I'm like, do you want to get lunch? Like, let's sit down. I would love
invest
to get to know you. Exactly. That's
yeah.
how you get a long-lasting career, is like making relationships with people. And it's just interesting because 99% of these companies that are inviting these influencers, all these things, they are white women. And I can't tell you the amount of time that companies have asked me, oh, are there any other Black creators you like? Or are there any other curve girls that we should be looking at? It's like, go do your own fucking research.
That's not your fucking job.
That's literally not my job. Like, that is not my job. Don't go scroll through my Instagram of who my friends are that are influencers. Like, go out and look at who the women are that are representing your product and are also doing good things in the space. Take the time to do that. Like,
they're lazy when it comes to diversity and inclusion sometimes. And it's like that tokenism that you talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you have one, but you don't actually want to listen to me or empower me or give me the platform you'll give white girls. Because now I'm here at this party with you, right? But it's like, are you going to sustain that relationship, or does Kathy, who seems more palatable and is a smaller size than me, get the support?
And I know I'm not the normal influencer. Like, I do product reviews, I do stuff like that, but I also speak my mind. Like, I'm not, I don't disrespect people. I keep it cute, but like, I'm going to be honest about things, and maybe that turns some people away.
But that's also why people love you.
Yeah.
And that's exactly.
And why you have such a great fan base, including us, because like you do speak your mind and you're authentic. And I think that's something that even people are realizing nowadays with influencers, at least among my friends, that like we really like. It's like the honesty and the rawness that you possess that I think is what attracts people to you. But I think we should shift gears a little bit and talk about your life now and how's everything going, as you know, you've garnered so much success and now that you've entered this new era as we spoke.
It's so interesting hearing like other people talk about my successes, because in my mind I'm always like, okay, what am I doing now? What's next?
Yeah,
if
what's
I go
next?
1 week without a shoot or without something, I'm like, dried up, done. Like, there's nothing else to do. Da da da. But you know, it's been really nice, like making real friends in the space, because then you get to actually hear people's experiences at its highs and lows. Like,
absolutely.
There's months you're making so much money, you're like, how am I doing this? And then there's months where there's literally zero, and you're like, whoa, what's going on there? You know. And so, I think for my career, I've always been, like you said, like an authentic person. So if you see my Instagram post or if you see my TikToks, like I'm actually doing the things in that moment. Like, it's rare for me to like put on an outfit and go take an Instagram picture. I need to be doing that more. My manager tells me to do that more, and I do
I'm
need
dead
to
at
be
that.
Doing that more.
Yeah.
I do. But like, I've just always been a very in the moment person. So like, if I'm going to go take a picture, it's like, okay, let's go get dinner, and like, I'm going to wear this outfit and get a picture for it. Or if I'm making a TikTok, it's like me actually getting ready to go do something, not just like doing
it's
it to make the video.
It's not 3 p.m. and you're like, I have a flight that's leaving in 5
Literally.
Minutes.
Yeah, no.
I need to get my full beat done.
I can't. I'm also like,
also, how are these bitches wearing this much makeup on a flight?
I'm like,
I'm so confused about that. I'm
like, with 3 extra pimples.
Like, I can't.
See,
the
way I'm
going from California to the East Coast in full glam.
I
Because they're in business class and they could just lay down and they'll be fine.
No, but like, even I feel like when you step in an airplane, it's like the air is like
immediately my mascara is like down to here. I'm not cute on a plane.
No, but I am, but I will never put on makeup. I always say like just in case.
No, she does look cute.
No, I always look good on a plane because just in case I go down, I want to be the hottest corpse alive.
I'm like obsessed.
That's a part of my like stand up bit.
What is another brand or campaign that is a goal of yours that you want to put onto the universe?
Yeah, come on, manifestation queen.
I have worked with this brand on social media a lot, but I want to do a campaign so bad with Skims. So bad.
Oh, okay.
So bad.
Everyone will talk their shit about it. I'll die for Skims.
I don't care. I love their
Tracy,
stuff so much.
Listen up.
Please.
Miss Romulus.
Yeah.
This girl's right here.
Pick me. I don't know who I need to tell, but please pick me. But that's a huge goal for me. I would love to do that so badly. And then another group brand that I love is Meow. So I just started working a little bit, but I would love
their
to model
corsets. For them. I've never had like a clothing that actually makes me feel like as someone who is curvy, where it like cinches me in all the right places. Mm-hmm. You know how many
you actually are
my
obsessed
tits are.
With Meow.
I've said this last episode. It's to the gods. And it makes you feel so sexy. Ugh. I love that. Also, I'm putting this out there right now while we close out this episode. In the next 2 years, you are going to be walking in the Savage Fenty show. Mark my words.
Yes.
You are going to be walking on it. I'll put that. I thought about that months ago, by 100%. The way. I literally was like, this girl is going to walk the Savage Fenty show. Give it 2 years
or
less.
That's my number one goal. Yeah. It's in every manifestation, anything I've ever written, seen, done, whatever. I love the Savage team more than I love myself. I love them so much.
Tell them right there. There's a camera.
Yeah, tell them.
Tell
you, Savage. You already know.
Period.
Let's not play around. Just call me.
Yeah, but all in all, Alexa, we are so grateful that you came here today to talk to us. You are genuinely such a light, and you are anyone who is graced enough to have you in their life. Like, even just us, we're so damn lucky. And thank you for giving, like, I don't know, like, girls like us and, like, my little sister and all of her friends someone to look up to on social media and someone to, like, see themselves in. Because we don't see that anymore, and we don't see that a lot. So thank you. You should be so damn proud of yourself.
Everyone, please go follow her. What are your ads? Tell us your TikTok. Yeah, tell us your Instagram.
Whatever you want to drop, let us know.
TikTok is Flexi Lexi. I think Lexi has 3 X's. Don't really know. Also, didn't know I was going to be a TikToker when I made that username, just so everybody knows.
Yeah, you're stuck with her.
I'm stuck with her forever. And then my Instagram is Alexa J, and Alexa has 3 A's at the end.
Period.
And I just want to say I'm a fan of you guys. Like, I've literally been a fan since you posted that you were launching this. And so I'm so thankful. And, like, in my mind, I was manifesting being here. So I'm
no
so happy
way.
To be
oh
on
my God,
here.
We'll
so
have
happy.
Many more conversations like this to come.
I would love that.
We'll
and we all
hang
just
hang
need
out.
To get together.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, a dinner moment.
So much. Yeah,
100%.
Would love that.
All right. Well, that's our episode. Check out Dare We Say on YouTube and subscribe to our channel if you want to watch us all look so fucking sexy while we talk about shitting on LA clubs and body diversity.
Perfect. Or shitting in LA clubs. We'll tell you which one has the best bathroom for doing so.
Oh, yeah.
That was good.
Honestly,
thank you.
Bye.
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 Dare We Say is a Crooked Media production.
Caroline Reston is our showrunner, producer, and mommy. And Ari Schwartz is our producer and show daddy. Fiona Pastana is our associate producer, and Sandy Girard is the almighty executive producer.
It's hosted and produced by me, Josie Toda.
And me, Yasmin Hamadi.
And me, Alicia Pascual Peña. Our engineer and editor is Jordan Cantor, and Brian Vasquez is our theme music composer. Our video producers are Matt DeGroot, Narm Melkonian, and Dylan Villanueva, and Mia Kelman.
Lastly, thank you to Jordan Silver, Gabriella Leverett, Jesse McLean, Caroline Haywood, Shayna Hortzman, Daisy Cruz, Danielle Jensen, and Awa Okaladi for marketing the show and making us look so damn good.